Hey everyone, this is Chris and Sandy with the Customized Ride, where we bring on amazing people throughout the car community. And today, like I said, every episode, we got a great one for you. Who do we have?
We have James Bondurant. He is a third generation professional race car driver and grandson to the world championship race car driver, Bob Bondurant. With experience in road racing, oval track, drifting, asphalt, and dirt, he has the ability to hop in any race car anytime and be a contender to reckon with.
And we're excited to have him on the show. So welcome to the show.
Welcome.
Well, thank you. It's good to be here.
So how's your day going?
It's going good. Out here in the Carolinas, out on the Catawba River here, just getting a little hike in. Thought awesome. It'd be a good place to do the interview here.
Yeah, and I guess it's good you upgraded to the new Ultra because you get a better signal.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, signal's not a problem with this phone. We're working good.
Awesome.
So let's go back and let's start at the beginning. What got you into racing?
Well, of course, my grandfather was a huge influence. My grandfather and father were both race car drivers. So being a child, I always looked up to them and wanted to be like them. So obviously racing became a natural. And then that first time I got on a racetrack and I got to experience it. My dad took me around Sears Point up in Sonoma. It's called Sonoma Raceway now. And it just fell in love, you know. Yeah. So you just the thing about racing, it really gets you. A lot of race car drivers, it becomes your life, you know. First time my grandpa, my dad, we all got to go to the Indianapolis 500, and to be able to be there at the track, smelling the fuel, the burning tires, and to hear the sounds and see the speeds, it just gets you. And you know, it kind of never looked back from there. Just knew that was what I was gonna work towards in life.
Mm-hmm. Now, has that been a challenge, you know, since your granddad was such a legend? Has that been a challenge on your back?
Well, it's you could look at it as a double-edged sword, right? It's a blessing and a curse. I prefer to look at it as a blessing. I mean, number one, my grandfather taught me. So having that in your corner, you could sit there and go, oh, well, your last name, you got so much, that's great. Yeah, the last name is great, but my grandpa, I mean, he taught James Garner, he taught Tom Cruise, he taught a lot of people, he taught Dale Earnhardt, and Dale Earnhardt turned around and won his first road race after he taught him.
Wow.
So that's amazing. I had a good teacher growing up, so I would look at it as a blessing. Yeah, there's definitely been some people look at you a little harder. The drifting community in particular, you know, I wasn't really a drifter, right? I was James Bondurant coming into that crowd, that scene. So that was a little tricky. But I think at the end of the day, you want to build a name for yourself. That's why I went racing and doing drifting, doing oval track, doing stuff that my grandfather didn't do to do something for myself.
Because I think that's where a lot of people misguide their prejudices and stuff, is they don't realize that how much harder you have to work because of your granddad. Because there's a lot of work into all this. You know, just because you had him as a teacher doesn't mean it comes easy.
Well, yeah. I mean, the first thing when you go into racing cars, a lot of people don't fully understand is it takes mounds of money to go racing. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're talking not thousands of dollars, we're talking millions of dollars. So when you're talking about that kind of money, that's tricky. You know, my grandfather would never help me financially in racing. And a lot of people go, well, does that upset you?
Wow.
No.
Wow.
That really was a blessing again, because I really wouldn't be the race car driver I am today. I wouldn't have the drive to go out and succeed and win without that. Yeah, I think a lot of people get handed too much too young, and they don't really achieve their potential because they didn't have to earn it. So, you know, I was California state champion in downhill mountain biking before I ever got in a race car, and I had to work and claw my way up to get any kind of ride or any opportunity I ever wanted.
You know, it's funny. We had a racer on the other day, and she said a pro racer is someone who spends millions of dollars to earn hundreds of thousands.
Yeah. I mean, you know, look at, you know, Formula One drivers are some of the highest paid athletes on the planet.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, there's drivers that have made $500 million in their career as a race car driver. So, yeah, the money's there. But what people don't understand is if you don't have the passion, if you don't have the willingness, the guy that made $500 million, Michael Schumacher, that particular driver, he won a lot of championships. He also spent more time in the garage, more time every day than any other driver out there. That's why he was what he was. So at the end of the day, it's, yeah, it has to be your passion. You have to love it, or it's, you shouldn't be doing it.
You know, it's like the passion of Michael Jordan. I remember hearing the story that, you know, he got cut in his high school year. And if it was because the coach said he didn't have the talent. Well, his passion said otherwise.
Exactly. No, Jordan's a great example. There, you know, I look at guys like Michael Jordan, Kobe Bryant. Those guys, they worked for it. You know, it wasn't handed to them. Sure, they had the ability, they had the opportunities, but there was a lot of hard work to get there. And the work never stops. The learning never stops. You know, you hear guys, oh, I know how to do that. No, I don't want to hear that word out of your mouth. Mm-hmm. I can learn something from maybe a four-year-old kid that you didn't even realize you could learn from. So you got to be open-minded. You got to be willing to learn at all times.
Yeah.
Be willing to grow at all times to really achieve your potential as an athlete.
And this kind of goes into what we were just, what you were just talking about. But as you know, a lot of people see the glory in what you do and what other racers and all that, but they don't see that grind, the sacrifice. And I always like to talk about that side of it because people miss that one. So tell us a little bit about, you know, a little deeper what you just went, but some of the sacrifices you've had to go through to get to where you are.
Well, for instance, when I raced for Team Lexus, you know, I had a fancy car, a semi-hauler, you know, umbrella girls holding the umbrella over my head. But I was also sleeping on a floor in a hotel room that night.
Wow.
You know, just barely getting each opportunity. So, you know, just because you see somebody on TV or you see them doing all this stuff doesn't necessarily mean they've got the easy way out in life. You know, it's easy to go take a 9-to-5 job and collect a paycheck, right? It's hard for people to admit that, you know, like, oh, you know, because I've done it and I know it's hard work. Yeah. 9-to-5 can be hard work, but at the end of the day, you're collecting a check, you go home, and that's it. We don't have to deal with it. When you're working to be a world-class athlete or a race car driver, as I'm saying, you have to put in your life to that. It never stops.
You know, or anybody in there entertain anything, because of course you're in entertainment because people love to watch racing. So, you know, that's one thing we've noticed is if you're in entertainment, the odds are already stacked against you.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Well, and that's a lot of people don't understand that. That's an interesting thing. Well, auto racing is essentially, in a way, also entertainment.
Yep.
So, yes, we're professional athletes, but we are also entertainers. We're presenting something. Without fans, without people to watch, it's going to be hard to make a living at it. Exactly. So there's definitely a lot of elements that go into doing something. So you have to be willing to work with people. You have to want to work with people. Racing cars, you're really only as good as the equipment you have. So, you know, we got to have a crew chief, your tire changer, every little aspect has to be correct. The person that's tightening your lug nuts, you know, it's a team effort. You could be the best driver on the planet, but if you don't have the proper equipment behind you, you ain't going nowhere.
Exactly. Now, you were introduced to drifting at a SEMA show. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so it's the end of 2003, and drifting hadn't even really become a professional sport yet in America, and they had brought some of the champion Japanese drivers to Vegas to the SEMA show to show America what drifting was all about.
Oh, wow.
And my grandfather fell in love with it. He loved it. And he took me aside afterward. He said, James, this is you. You know, I come from motocross racing, downhill mountain biking. I was a skydiver, actually packed parachutes at a drop zone. So I teach snowboarding. So beyond being just a race car driver, I'm an extreme athlete. So drifting's extreme, right? And it just kind of fit me. So we went to California Speedway. They had an event out there in early 2004. And we put on a show. You know, I loved it. I'm a ham bone. You get me in front of a crowd, I don't want you watching me. I don't want you looking at the other guys. So smoking the tires, getting on the wall, waving at the crowd. It, you know, we were kind of ahead of our time with some of the stuff that we were doing. So the Japanese actually invited me to come to Japan.
Wow.
So before professional drifting ever really came to an existence in America, I spent a month in Japan training in the mountains. Kuma Kubo, who's one of the best drifters on the planet, he actually owns a mountain called the Ebisu Circuit. They have 9 tracks carved into the side of a mountain. Nothing like you've ever seen here in America. It's mind-blowing, but going over there, seeing what they're doing, being taught, you know, having Kuma Kubo as my sensei, so not only my grandpa, now I'm being taught by one of the best drifters on the planet. Drifting is an art.
Number one,
you have to understand that drifting is more than just racing. It's an artistic expression of driving. So the way that Kuma Kubo teaches drifting, he teaches it like he would teach a martial art. So it's a very different look at the sports. And when I came back to America and got involved in drifting, I was very blessed to have that experience, to have that knowledge, and to really understand what drifting is all about.
Ahead of the crowd here in the U.S. So you were kind of ahead of the crowd when here in the U.S.
Yeah, you know, like I said, when the sport came out, Grandpa loved it. I loved it. And, you know, again, not having any help to go out and get a ride, say NASCAR or anything like that. Here's a bunch of new teams trying to get involved in drifting. And I just coming from Japan. So, you know, I was able to get some opportunities. I was able to get in some cars and move my way up. And to be honest with you, I got my ride with Team Lexus because I was already qualified in the top 16 and their driver hadn't made it. And I just went up to the team and said, hey, listen, I'm in the top 16. You're not there. Do you want to be in the show today?
Wow.
And start driving for Lexus. So, you know, you have to be willing to put yourself out there and take risks in life.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, earlier you was talking about how it's a team effort. I like that because I always like to talk about teams too, because without a team, nothing is possible. So take a few moments and tell us about the team that helps you be who you are.
Well, yeah, I mean, I talk about my grandfather and my dad. You know, my dad, Bobby Bondurant, my grandfather's son, you know, he sponsored me growing up to race, you know, whether it be dirt bikes or mountain bikes. He helped get me my start, and then, you know, grandpa teaching me. And then from there, when you get to a team, I love a relationship between a driver and a crew chief. Being a professional race car driver, you get so close to your crew chief. They become a part of your team. I mean, really, you got the chemistry between your crew chief is really going to help affect how you do on the track. So crew chief's important. Also, I mean, marketing, you got to have a manager that's marketing you and putting you out there and helping develop sponsorship opportunities.
Yep.
Yeah.
So it's definitely quite a bit that goes into it all.
And, you know, and speaking of teams, we have a third co-host, our 11-year-old son. So Sandy's going to go get him.
Yes, I'll go get him.
And while we're waiting for him to come in, what are kind of your plans for the next 5 years?
Hold on just a second here.
Okay.
Could you ask that question one more time?
I was like, while we're waiting on Lil Chris to come in to ask a few questions, what's your plans for the next 5 years? What are some goals? You hit a little bad area there.
Hey, Chris.
You hit a little bad area there.
Yeah, I'm not sure what happened there. Just kind of had a little cutout there for a minute.
All right. Hi, James. So what's your first car?
What's that?
What's your first car?
My first car? My very first car was actually just a little Toyota pickup. Ended up driving that thing up and down California, Arizona, all over the place. Little old beat up truck. That thing worked out well for me.
Because what do you want your first car to be?
Corvette.
He wants a Corvette.
I told him. Corvette, huh?
I was like, well, maybe we can do something with one of the old models, right?
Hey, Corvettes are a lot of fun. They're neat cars. They're a handful right off the bat. So my son, personally, I'm going to put him in something not quite as aggressive as that first, just to get his feet wet before I put him into a Corvette.
That's probably what we'll end up doing.
But
that's how
my grandpa was. My grandpa, you know, grandpa was real hard on me. So once I got into the good equipment, I knew how to use it, you know?
Then that was different.
But hey, you got good taste. Corvettes are great machines, without a doubt. The new ones they got now are unbelievable. I actually work for Chevrolet, doing the Finding New Roads tour. And if you turn off all the traction control and all the bells and whistles, that thing is a race car on the street.
Oh, yeah, because we were at a car meet in Columbia, South Carolina, and I was filming out there, and a guy in the Corvette was driving by, and he stopped. He said, film away. And then he told little Chris while I was filming, he says, jump in there. You want to sit in it? And ever since he sat in that car, it was one of the newer Corvettes. He was like, I want that.
Hey, Corvettes, they're awesome. Gotta love me a Chevy. They're good stuff.
All right, what's your dream car? Oh,
ask again.
What's your dream car?
I'm sorry, what was that?
What's your dream car? He said.
I'll tell you this. I've driven a lot of cars. I've driven Ferraris, Maseratis. I drove a Ford GT. I've driven a 1,000 horsepower Skyline. I will tell you this. As a kid.
Going out.
Just let it go. I did this earlier and he had to pop back in. You're in a bad signal area, I think, now. You walked into a bad signal.
Yeah, I'm sitting down here. I'm trying to get it to clear up here. How's that?
Much better.
So we're talking about dream cars.
Yes.
Okay, well, I'll tell you. like I'm saying, I've driven a lot of different cars. I've driven Ferrari, driven Maserati, driven a Ford GT, driven the new Corvettes, Camaro ZL1s, you know. As a child growing up, my favorite car was always a Lamborghini.
Oh, wow.
Now that I've driven Lamborghinis and done all that, Lamborghinis sound good. They look good. Ferraris feel good. Ferraris have the sex appeal as you're driving it. The way it handles, everything about a Ferrari is just wonderful. So I definitely think a Ferrari is not a bad way to go. And driven a 1,000 horsepower Skyline, and I'll tell you, that was a mind-blowing experience to have that kind of horsepower. The way Skylines hit, it's just unbelievable. They are fun cars to drive. But I love all cars.
Yeah.
I always tell people, if you can't have fun in a 5-horsepower Briggs & Stratton go-kart, you're not getting it, because I have just as much fun in one of those as I'm going to have in a Ferrari. No joke.
No. What's funny is he kept running into the wall when we, last time we did go-karts. Remember? Mm-hmm. Up in Nashville. I think the guy got a little upset because he knocked off a few things from the go-kart. But because it was his first time in a go-kart, and I thought, you know, he's driven other stuff, so I thought I wouldn't have to say nothing to him. He didn't realize that you let off the gas for the curves. So he's trying to keep it full blast in that go-kart going around the curves. And of course he was new to all this. He couldn't handle that, but now he knows.
Hey, go-karts, they're a great training tool. That's what most Formula One drivers cross train in, is a go-kart. I love go-karts. Shifter karts are fun. 0 to 100 in under 6 seconds. But the thing about a go-kart is everything happens so quick. Number one, you're an inch off the ground, right? You're sitting so close to the ground that things are flying by you a lot faster speed. Now, the other thing about a go-kart is your rear wheels stick out further than your front. So if you're getting close to the wall with your front wheels, you're going to have a good chance of smacking the wall with your rear wheels.
Keep that in mind.
Then the last thing I'd say about a go-kart is you want to get all your braking done before the corner. Most guys, they try to drive it in way deep, but what you really want to do is you want to slow the go-kart down before the corner and then accelerate through the corner, and you'll get a fast lap time. I drove a shifter karts with Mike McDowell. He's a NASCAR Cup driver, and he's also a national champion go-karter. And something that, you know, I recommend anybody that wants to be any kind of race car driver or driver, that they should get some seat time in a go-kart.
Love that.
Oh, wait. All right, bye, thanks.
Hey, good to meet you.
Yeah, he loves to be on every, he's been on almost every show we've ever done, and he loves it. The guests love it, so we keep them coming.
Hey, that's great. I love it. I love it. It's so nice to see a family doing this.
Yep. So let, and of course, our four-year-old, when she gets older, she'll be plugged into the show too, because as you said, we are a family affair. So let's look 10, 15, 20 years down the road. And let's say you are a success on a grand scale. You become that legend category. What, during that journey, what do you hope you never forget?
Where I came from, you know, I've been fortunate to meet a lot of celebrities and professional athletes, and the ones that, impress me the most is the ones that treat me the same way that I would treat you. We're just people, right? So I think it's important that when we win championships or we are successful in life, that we don't let that feed our ego to where we forget who we are and where we came from, you know?
Yeah, exactly. So outside of your dad and granddad, who have been some of your heroes?
Well, I was really close friends with Phil Hill, and I don't know how many people know who Phil Hill is, but Phil Hill was an American race car driver who was a world champion in Formula One for Ferrari.
Oh, wow.
And he's just a Southern California boy that managed to get there. So, and when we went to all the banquets, you know, I got to sit at the table with Carroll Shelby, Dan Gurney, Phil Hill, Bob Bondurant, and all their wives. And, you know, Phil is just down-earth guy. It, you know, Dan and my grandpa would be arguing over who's faster. And Phil's in the back just laughing and smiling, just enjoying the moment. So, you know, Phil was always a guy that I looked up to and wanted to be like. But guys that I don't know that I would look up to, I'd say Richard Petty, without a doubt. You know, the guy, his values on and off the track, the way he was with sponsors and the way he was with his family. And you know, that to me is something that I want to look up to. Current guys, you know, current racers.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can't help but look at a two-time world champion right now, Max Verstappen. The guy's on the gas. He's definitely got the mental and the instinctual ability to race cars. So,
love that.
Yes. And what are some things that inspire you?
Well, I say that my number one inspiration outside of racing would be God. You know, I was fortunate that God called me at a younger age, you know, because I was running away from the Lord, kind of doing my own thing. And when he knocked me over the head and I met him, he changed my life forever, you know. And so the thing I always tell people is, just because you're following God doesn't mean you don't got to stop chasing your dreams, because God, exactly, he wants to achieve those dreams with you. He wants to experience that life with you. So, you know, if as long as I got him behind whatever I'm doing, I know that I'm going to be just fine.
Yes. And what would you like for your legacy to be? What would you like to be known and remembered for?
Well, I mean, realistically, for being positive and leaving a positive impact. Of course, I want to win races. You know, I want to win championships, but more importantly is what imprint did I leave the next generation? You know, I mean, if it wasn't for my grandpa and Richard Petty and these guys going and doing what they did, there wouldn't be much for us today. Those guys risked their lives back then to race cars. Now we have such advancements in safety. They've made Yeah, exactly. Dale Earnhardt gave up his life, and the amount of safety that's changed from him alone, that's Dale Earnhardt's greatest legacy. It's perfect that you bring him up, because that's the greatest legacy he's left is the safety in NASCAR is just way above what it was back then. So, I mean, that's what matters. Did I leave some for this next generation to come take over and do something even greater with?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So as we close out here, what advice would you give that person that wants to do what you do?
Well, I'd say number one, don't give up. It's easy to give up. You're going to fail. It's going to happen. Every race car driver, or every athlete, everybody that's ever trying to trace a dream, they go through struggles. And it's in those struggles, in those moments, that defines who you are and your ability to go after something. So I would say, you know, chase your dreams, but be prepared for the struggles and learn from them and grow from them and keep going after it. And no matter what, maybe it's not exactly what you thought from the beginning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's going to be a great experience in the end.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think that's where people forget is, you know, it's okay to pivot. You know, you got a lot of these gurus that teach you got to stay focused and only on that for the rest of your life or you'll never make it. But yet I think that a lot of times you do this and then you pivot if you hit that brick wall long enough and you're like, okay, you got to then think inside of yourself, say, what do I need to do? Is this going to work or do I need to pivot just a little bit?
Exactly. Well, I moved out here to the Carolinas to be in the heartbed of American stock car racing, because that's what I wanted to do, you know, and it's been a challenge. I miss my family. I miss my dad. There's people back in California that I want to be close to, but you got to commit. You got to go for what you want. And the experiences are rich in life. You know, it's honestly, if I look back at my life, it's all the stories. It's all the experiences that I've had that I cherish. It's not the car. It's not the trophy. Yeah. You know, it's the experiences.
Love that. So as we close out, tell everybody how they can find you on social media and all that.
Well, you can find me on Instagram, Facebook. I got a YouTube channel, and right now we've got it under Bondurant Motorsports. We have currently changed the name of the race team. We're actually IMA Racing. You see on the hat there. But Bondurant Motorsports is an easy place to find me for right now.
Love that. Awesome. You know, we really enjoyed having you on the show today, and we look forward to having you back down the road.
Well, thank you, Chris, Sandy. It's a pleasure. I appreciate what you guys are doing. I like seeing a wholesome family podcast, and look forward to maybe talking in the future here.
Oh, that sounds great.
We'll talk to you
soon. Thanks so much for your time.
All right. Take care. We'll see you.
All right. Bye.